And it's our great pleasure to bring this event to you today. In some of our past endeavors, we've looked at the life insurance industry. We've looked at done a lot of work on the asset side of the balance sheet. Today, we're going to look more on the liability side of things. But to kick things off, I would like to introduce Senator Ben Nelson, who will have some opening remarks for us to get us started and on our way. Senator?
Well, thank you very much, Eric, and thank you all for being here today. It's my pleasure to welcome you to the Center for Insurance Policy and Research Summit, Exploring Insurer Liabilities. As Eric indicated, the CIPR endeavors to bring you thought-provoking presentations and reports, and I'm convinced that today's most important regulatory topics need to be considered by all. For example, the CIPR recently completed a report on the life insurance industry, and it's available on the website, so we hope that you will access that if you haven't. Now, much has been written about the economic crisis and its impact on insurers. Much of that has been overblown, and much of it has been less than accurate. Last year, the CIPR produced a report studying the real estate markets, securitization of mortgages, and how these markets impact insurer investments. Lack of transparency in these markets still keeps investment opportunities to a minimum. Before the crisis, roughly 40% of mortgage securitizations were backed by private placements. Today, more than 90% are backed by the government-sponsored entities, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Congress, as you know, has signaled its intent to ratchet down the federal support of these markets. And the question is, have we learned from the past mistakes that transparent markets work better in promoting real estate investment and a sound economy? Only time will tell. I, for one, remain hopeful that progress will be made. This part of the economy will recover and offer sound investment opportunities to insurers once again. Today, we'll be shifting focus somewhat and exploring, as Eric said, the liability side of the balance sheet. I believe we have assembled a very dynamic group of speakers, and I expect that they will enlighten, stimulate thinking, and encourage to look at insurer liabilities in a different light. We plan to start with an introduction and overview of what we expect to accomplish today. Our first panel will cover underwriting cycles and their impact on reserves. Why reserves change over time, how to evaluate insurer stock prices, and possible systemic impacts. Next, a panel of actuaries will discuss current property reserving methodologies, reserve redundancy and inadequacy, and its impact on prices and property and casualty insurance products. After lunch, you will explore the life insurance reserves and the evolution from rule-based to principle-based reserve standards. The final panel will try to pull all of the information together and discuss current issues and concerns. They will also help identify the next steps for further study. Our host is Ed Toy. He toils literally in the NAIC Capital Markets and Investment Analysis Office in New York City. Ed is the director of the Capital Markets Bureau. He is responsible for producing the NAIC Capital Markets Special Report that monitors developments in a capital markets globally, in the capital markets globally, and analyzes that potential impact on the investment portfolios of U.S. insurers. If you're not already receiving this report, I encourage you to subscribe Ed will be introducing the other speakers as we go along. So it's my pleasure now to turn it over to Ed Toy. Thank you all for this opportunity to be here.
Thank you, Senator Nelson, and my also welcome to all of you for coming to the CIPR session. I think we're looking forward to, or certainly I'm looking forward to, a very robust and interesting discussion. I think one of the great benefits of the CIPR sessions that have been held in the past, and I'm very much looking forward to the same dynamic this time, is that we go into these discussions with really no end goal in mind. We're not expecting to have any grand answers. We're not supposed to, we're not expecting to come up with the solution to anything or at all, but to have a really good open discussion, roundtable, back and forth, and I hope we'll have plenty of time for good dialogue. As far as Senator Nelson suggested, or as he introduced me, is I'm director of the Capital Markets Bureau at the NEIC, which means I focus on the left side of the balance sheet, and I think I understand just enough about the right side of the balance sheet to be really, really dangerous. As Senator Nelson said, I am the host for this session, and all I did was walk up to Eric and said, I don't know much about liabilities. Maybe we should do something about that. And suddenly, here I am. Nonetheless, obviously, it's very, very important from all of our perspectives in terms of trying to understand insurance liabilities, and from my perspective, trying to understand insurance liabilities specifically in terms of how they interact with assets and how they interact with companies' strategies as far as asset liability management. So again, I'm going to be listening to all of the speakers today with especially strong interest. As I think about some of the things that have been going on in the last few years anyway, if not long before that, there clearly has been a lot of discussion about how insurance products work, how insurance liabilities work, and I've either fortunately or unfortunately been party to a lot of those discussions and realized how much most people really struggle with exactly what are insurance liabilities and how do we look at them and how do we understand them. Having gotten involved with a lot of discussions with our colleagues in terms of federal banking regulators, they tend to think about insurance liabilities, well, they're just like bank deposits, and that obviously is a very, very dangerous kind of assumption to make. But it's I think that viewpoint probably pervades way beyond banking regulators, since I've been in conversations with a lot of other people, and they all seem to kind of think the same thing. I think about the discussions that we've had in various different venues, and been asked, well, why isn't there a risk for a run on insurance liabilities and for there to be basically significant collapses of insurance companies because there's a run? And I guess, again, in my rather simplistic response, I say, well, it's called a run on the bank for a reason. It's not called a run on an insurance company. As I try and in my simple way, is try and explain, well, these are the reasons why it doesn't happen. I'm not going to be as articulate as some of the panelists that we have today. And I should point out also, one of the people that was supposed to be here today, that was supposed to also be speaking with you, was Linda Powell from the Office of Financial Research. And part of the reason why I thought of the idea of having something like this was because of conversations I was having with Linda's boss, Dick Berner, who heads up the OFR. And we were talking about what kinds of information, what do we really know about insurance liabilities? What do we really know about how they're reported and how they're reserved for? What do we really know about the impact of those liabilities, as well as the accounting and the reserving for them, if certain assumptions change? I'd hearken again back to the work that my team does, and And I do have a team of people that does everything for me that I take great pride in being able to take credit for. But we think about the relative wealth of data that we have about investments, about the assets of insurance companies, and that obviously drives a lot of the work that we do that feeds into the special reports that we publish. So it's as I look at that, and not that I don't always think, oh, there's more information I'd like to have, there's more data I'd like to have about investments, but I think about and I ask questions from my perspective as far as what do we know about the liabilities. And also, of course, you know, as people like Eric and others try and help me try and understand insurance liabilities, also obviously understanding how tremendously different all the different product lines are, and that you can't really expect that the product lines, that the different products are going to react the same way, and there's a certain amount of lack of correlation among all the different products, and of course, the most substantial of those is, as I was just saying before we started this morning, the difference, the fact that the obvious difference between life products and property and casualty products and health products. So those are all things that I think feed into at least my questioning mind, as I think also about where we're going with some of these things and some of the conversations that the NEIC is part of, mostly on the part of our commissioners and regulators, and somewhat less so as far as the NEIC staff. You know, obviously, one of the other things are the issues of systemic risk, and we've obviously made the argument that insurance products are not systemic, and traditional insurance companies and traditional insurance activities are not systemic, and I think we're actually making some ground as far as those conversations. So, but the more ammunition I think we can all pull together, I think the better for all of us. The last point I'd make, and the last thing I'd just throw out as far as what feeds my interest, and this comes from a lot of the same themes that I've already touched on, is that this is obviously not just a U.S. issue. This is a global issue, and regulators, financial regulators around the world are talking about and to varying degrees struggling with some of the same things. I consider myself extremely fortunate that I was named a chair of the Macroprudential Policy and Surveillance Subcommittee of the IIS earlier this year, and we, I think, are doing some extremely good work. There was a paper that was really written, 99.9% of it was written under the leadership of my prior chair, Mary Frances Monroe from the Bermuda Monetary Authority. But now my group, and I'll call it the Macroprudential Group because otherwise it would take up the entire session here to keep repeating the name, but our job now is to then take that basic conceptual framework that was developed under Mary Frances and start to develop indicators and tools and work towards how we can provide good, solid information to insurance supervisors around the world to help them understand where some of the factors are going and how there might be certain situations where something needs to be addressed with specific companies and other things might need to be addressed with broader regulatory guidelines or regulatory structures. And this is not to scare Steve Brody, who I talked to yesterday afternoon, that suddenly we're going to have a whole nother layer of regulation on top of everything that we've got right now. But in fact, our hope is to actually level set in the work of the macroprudential group so that all insurance supervisors around the world are actually looking at the same basic information so that we're not talking about the insurance regulators in BaFin looking at completely different data from those here in the U.S. or those in Japan. I think what I hope to hear from today's sessions will help me in that effort as well as I try and understand those things. We have recently published, or recently completed, I guess it's not published, but recently recently completed and come to agreement on what we consider the 21 risk categories that we're going to be focusing on. And clearly, a very large number of those are on the liability side when we think in terms of longevity, mortality, casualty risk, all those different things. So hopefully, I'm very, very hopeful and very optimistic that some of the things I hear today are going to feed into those discussions that I'll be having. And I have a meeting in November that will be the first open meeting of the macroprudential group. Macroprudential group historically has held everything in closed session and following upon along the lines of the NEIC model, which I think is rather impressive in terms of having, you know, virtually everything and certainly anything that's policy related happen in open sessions. You know, I got my subcommittee to basically open up the meetings, and we're going to be having our first open meeting in November.